Thank you so much, Debbie. I appreciate you stepping up. And what I invite everybody else to do, as you are listening to this session, listen for, I mean, all of you are CTA coaches, so you know about the simple coaching model. Listen for questions that work. Listen for techniques or anything that happens in a coaching session that essentially helps you be a better coach, because that's the purpose of CTA and this symposium, is to help you grow and develop as masterful coaches. So with that, Debbie, let's see, just to let you know too, I've been a trainer for CTA for 10 years, and I've completed 42 certified coach programs, and that's about 800 coach-to-coach sessions and all that. So I love doing what I do, and I'm really glad that you have stepped up to do this with me. So what I'm going to do is set my time. Everybody else hopefully is on mute. So, Debbie, welcome.
Thank you.
Take a breath, relax. And what is it that you would like to accomplish in the time we have today, which is about 15 minutes?
The thing that I'm struggling with, and I'm a recent graduate from the CTA program. I'm also a current student with Dr. Dave Kruger and his New Money Story program as well. But the issue that I'm having problems with on my own is when people say they cannot afford my services, I'm not quite certain how to help them to bridge the gap. I can sell my services on, you're on Pain Island and you want to get to Pleasure Island, and I'm the ship that goes between the two. I have no problem with that. It's when they specifically say, oh, I can't, you know, afford that right now, and that's, I'm getting really stuck. So I could use some assistance with that.
Okay. Great. So what you want help on is, so that's the situation, is that you're stuck when people say they can't afford your services, they can't afford to hire you. So that being the situation, Debbie, what is it that you would like to take away from the session?
Some strategies on how to best respond smoothly.
Strategies to respond smoothly. All right. Okay. So imagine, close your eyes for a minute. Just take a deep breath. Relax. Relax your shoulders. Relax your ears. Relax your eyebrows. That's one of my favorites. And be in a place where you are able to respond smoothly. Be in a place where, tell me the space that you want to be in to respond smoothly. What is the space that you want to create?
A sense of calm, and that it doesn't have to do with me.
Okay. If it doesn't have to do with you, who does it have to do with? Or who or what?
It feels like rejection, and it feels like when they say something like that I should, I'll make myself more affordable for you, and I don't want to go into that space.
Okay. So, just a second. Well, there we go. Thank you. Could everybody that is not Debbie please go on mute or hit star 6 on your phone? That would be helpful. Thank you. So you're feeling there's a sense of rejection, which is the making it about you.
Yes.
Okay. So if it is, and so what I'm hearing is that it's in that place of rejection, the place of making it about you, that you get stuck.
Yes. Okay. I just do not know an adequate or appropriate way to respond to help them through that.
Okay. What I'm hearing, well, if you help them through that, what's the result of helping them through that?
Well, I would like to be able to come back smoothly in some, and you know, see how I'm getting jerky right now just thinking about it. That's kind of what I do, is I get into this like jerky, I don't know what to say. And that's, I would like to be able to still sound smooth and confident and, you know, not feel put on the spot, not feel like I need to fix the problem.
Okay. So what I'm hearing actually is in order that the strategy to respond smoothly, which was your stated agenda earlier, is actually you want a, what I'm hearing is that you want a script. You want a, almost like a scripted response or some sort of scripted practice, ready response or set of responses that you can relay coolly. To kind of overcome that that you were just talking about. Am I hearing that correctly?
You are spot on.
Okay. Awesome. So what you want is a script, a response. So think about now that you don't have a prospective client in front of you, and you're now in that relaxed sense of calm right now. So return to that place of sense of calm. Are you there? Kind of breathing. And tell me what the value of your coaching is in the world. Not necessarily monetarily, but what's the value of your coaching?
I can make a difference for them.
I hear it in your voice. I hear that I can very, very strongly.
Yes, so, I'm very well known, and they're coming to me because I'm well known, and they're coming to me because of my unique niche, and I do know all that.
Okay. So in that space, what sorts of things, and we just brainstorm here, what sorts of things, sorts of responses would you like to experiment or explore to maintain a sense of calm when somebody says, sounds great, can't afford that now, though?
Well,
that's one way you would respond.
Normally, I mean, that's where I get stuck, is I'll say, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't have any idea, and I'm, you know, I'm hoping that you, having more experience, will have experienced that and be able to assist me with words to say.
Well, I do have something that comes up, and it sounds like I have permission to share it with you. One of the things in my, I'll kind of pick on role of mentor coach here too. One of my my strategies is to acknowledge that it is an investment.
Okay.
I clearly understand your desire to almost talk them out of not being able to afford it and talk them into making the investment. Am I hearing that kind of underlying in all of this as well?
It's not
because
you
do. I'm sorry, I was going to ask, because you do know you can make a difference, and you really have, I hear the caring and the desire to make a difference in people's lives and in the world. I really hear that underneath, and that definitely exists. And I apologize for talking over you. What was it that you wanted to add, though, about kind of what's underneath that?
No, you did. No problem on talking over me. You had more value. It's that I just don't know the words to say. It's not that I want them to sign up for something that's going to be bad for them. What I want them to do is to sign up for something that's going to make a difference in their relationship. And
okay.
I just can't breach the, when they say we can't afford that, okay. I mean, that I just get lost right there. I just do not know what to respond with.
Okay. Well, like I said, one of the things that I've discovered is some kind of acknowledgement as a way of kind of, it's kind of that neutral space between kind of accepting it and wanting them to, you know, maybe open to a different perspective. So in a way, you're almost, it's a blend, and this point too in your business, it's a kind of blend of coaching and marketing. And I understand that it's easy to get stuck there. So what would you say to acknowledge their limiting belief? Because whenever we say anything, you know, I can't, there's a limiting belief in there that's showing up. So how can you acknowledge that?
I could say, I understand that, you know, finances are a concern in my own life. I personally have to consider, you know, any investment. But for myself, what I use as the determining factor is looking at how much not having that service is costing me personally.
Okay. I invite you to change your but to an and.
Okay.
I understand that, you know, it's an investment, but does it change it for you if you change your but to an and?
To say,
I understand. Yeah.
That this is an investment, and in my own life, you know, this would be, you know, I don't know if I should say that.
If it's a coaching approach that you want, how can you make that the kind of the cost benefit ratio is what you're talking about that you look at. What might you say that would invite them to consider the cost benefit ratio?
I do not know. I'm stuck. I'm sitting here
okay. And
I keep coming up against that same feeling of being stuck.
Okay. So in the interest of time, I would be happy to share some more things that to see if they might resonate with you.
Please.
I understand it's a big investment in yourself and in your relationship. And what's it costing you to stay right where you are?
Perfect.
If you think about it, too, that's a powerful coaching question. That's one of my favorite toolbox questions, too, by the way, as my CTA students will attest, is asking, you know, and it's that blend between a powerful coaching question and a pretty powerful marketing kind of a question, right?
No, it's perfect. It's absolutely. I knew that. I kept feeling like there has to be a way to say this, and I just couldn't come up with it with my own brain. And I can. This is something I can totally work with. Thank you so much.
Yay! For two brains in the process.
Awesome.
And there again, it's how does this open up other ideas for what you can. How you can respond with a sense of calm, because it really doesn't have to do with you. It really does have to do with their own limiting beliefs. So what else pops up for you, Debbie, that you might be able to respond?
Well, I think it comes down to, you know, it is an investment, but what's the amount of time that this issue you know, cost you in your relationship? You know, is there a value for you to have a more peaceful harmony in your home?
And rather, I would also suggest, rather than, is there a value, is what is the value?
What is the value? Okay.
What, or another way to maybe say it is, what value do you place on peace and harmony in your home?
Oh, gosh, you're good.
I'm just using your words and rearranging them just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So, your energy has really shifted, Debbie.
Yeah, I definitely felt the shift. There's no doubt about it, because it's just like, you know, just putting, you're in a dark room and I don't see so great at night. So you handed me a flashlight and now I can see where the light switches. It's perfect.
Wonderful. And there again, this is, like I said, this is a little bit more of a blend of mentor coaching and, like coaching, consulting, and coaching. However, it's a really great example that sometimes a client really, really is stuck, and offering something to open up that stuckness is valuable. And I know that I tell my classes, don't tell them what to do or hold suggestions back unless a client is just really, really stuck, like you were. So, and asking permission to share, it seemed like it was a given. I still wanted to ask anyway. So tell me about your sense of calm and your ability to respond smoothly the next time a prospective client says, sounds great, but I can't afford it.
I now have a question or series of questions here that I can work with to ask them the question so they come up with their own answer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no longer about me. It still allows me to stay in coach mindset, mm-hmm. and asking powerful questions, and it just allows them to start thinking along a different path instead of thinking, oh, it's just another bill. Oh, boy, every time I fight with my husband, I end up really unhappy and I'm stressed, and boy, wouldn't it be nice to be able to come home and feel peaceful or happy.
Okay. So my final question, and I realize that we're about a minute over, Debbie, is it's my job to moderate the, and also facilitate the time. So my question too is, this is a closed ended for right now in the interest of time. Do you trust that you will still be able to maintain a sense of calm even if a prospective client or a couple concludes that it's not in the budget right now?
I can't promise that at first I'm still going to maintain complete calm, but I absolutely feel more calm, and I know that the more I use it, the safer I will feel.
And I remind you, I invite you to find a way to remind yourself that it really is not about you.
Thank you.
Because you said that you already know that.
I do know that.
Great.
It's just, yes. Thank you so
good.
Much. You really made a difference. Truly, truly, truly. This has been something that's been really bothering me. So thank you.
I can tell it's been really bothering you. Yes. So, and congratulations too on completing the CTA program recently and starting with Dr. Dave, because he's pretty awesome. So,
thank you.
What I wanted to open this, and we've got over 60 people on the line, so, I don't want everybody to come off mute. If somebody has something that they want to share, either a question or an observation, to keep it also short and concise would be great. We'll have a few people share and then move into our next one with Ruth. But who would like to come off mute and share an observation or a question? What did you hear in this? I know it takes a minute to come off mute. If you think you're speaking, you're on mute.
This is Iris.
Yes, Iris.
I really liked where you asked for approval and then said I have your approval and then gave advice, because sometimes that can be tricky on not giving advice, but if you have a client who's constantly asking you over and over, how do you walk that tricky line of answering the question but not going overboard? I like how you handled that. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Iris. And, like I said, there are times that, that you as a coach have information that your client does not have. One of our, well, now former trainers and a very good friend, Dave Meyer, always said, you know, if a client doesn't know what an armoire is, you can't coach them out, coach it out of them. You just have to tell them what an armoire is and say, here's a resource, here's something that might help you that I know about. How can you use this? And for me in this instance, I had the same struggle early on in my coaching business and came up with the acknowledgement. Yes, I know it's an investment. So I already had language and Debbie was stuck, so I wanted to share the language that works for me and it resonates with her and it was okay. So I could have kind of coached her to guess what was in my head and that's the waste of her time. Especially a client that's paying, a client that shows up in any way. So thanks, Iris. Another, who else would like to share an observation?
This is Catherine. I have a question.
Yes, Catherine.
I was wondering when she was struggling with, you know, that when someone said, oh, I can't afford you, would it be okay to ask what her feelings are towards money at that point in time, or how did she feel the first time she hired a coach? Would that be a path you could go down?
Potentially, yeah. That's another, you know, we talk about coachable moments in the simple coaching model, and that's potentially, that's a coachable moment that you heard, and yeah, that would have taken her down a path that would have helped her find, you know, tap into her own deeper wisdom. What I chose for that, there was something else underlying it, and I was hearing really it was more just about a script that she was lacking. She was lacking words for it. Because when I asked her about the value she sees, I didn't see that it was that as much as she just needed she needed a language.
Okay.
So in answer to your question, Catherine, yes, that's a definitely a valid coachable moment to seize and, you know, travel that path. And the one I chose was I was hearing about she needed words.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, great question. Thank you. Also the question or observation. Unless everybody's still on mute. So anything else, Debbie, that you would like to share about kind of the process of the coaching that worked for you?
It really worked for me when I felt more like it was brainstorming because I continued to feel stuck when, you know, you were trying to help me with asking questions, but I still my brain wasn't in the right spot. And the minute that you shared what worked for you, it just, like I said, it was just like a flash, you know, you're handing me a flashlight in a dark room. It was like all of a sudden I had a place to go. So that really made a difference for me.
Good. And that was a sense that I was getting because I was resisting, essentially, giving you an answer, and yet the kind of your level of stuckness was really coming through. And there again, I had an armoire that I wanted to just tell you about. So in that instance, it worked really well. And there again, I'm not attached to you using that or not using it. It's just what works for me. And it worked. Any other observation? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who's this?
Well, this is Debbie again. I just think that shows the value of the mentor coaching right there. It's because when you have more experience in something and you're able to share that with someone, you know, you can save me, you know, hours of time plus potentially losing clients because I didn't know how to respond.
Right. And the rest of you too. So any of you that have a target market that is not new coaches, because that is one of my specialties is working as a mentor coach and coaching new coaches. So having that, you know, those resources in my toolbox is something that I do share. And being a mentor coach, like I said, it blends consulting a little bit more into it. and at the same time for each one of you, regardless of your target market or specialty, when you have a client that's just really, really stuck, it's okay to share what comes up for you in a way that you're still owning it and sharing it as you can get brainstorming started if your client is really stuck. I always suggest to coaches that, you know, just kind of tap in, try to go a little bit deeper, and yet when a client is stuck, share what's in your mind. You know, share your own expertise, your own ideas, your own thoughts as a way of priming the pump. So, great. Thank you so much, Debbie. And what I invite you to do is test it out. And if you have, if you're still working with your buddy from the CTP, then, you know, find some kind of accountability or somebody to tap into again, like a follow-up session, I guess, to kind of a follow-up to see how it's going, to see how it's working in your life and in your business.
Thank you.
So, yay. Yay, you have language. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
That you stepped up. So, boy, you so fast. And I love doing this so much. It's easy to let the time go by. So, now we have Ruth from New Jersey. And Ruth, what is your area code? If you would come off mute. Are you there, Ruth? Did we lose Ruth? Ruth, do you want to hit *6 or unmute? I'm looking for New Jersey here on our dashboard.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you. And what I'm going to do, Debbie, I'm going to take you off host so you can go ahead and mute here. There you go. And so is your area code 908?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. I'm going to make you a host there. So there you go. So it's 908-797?
Yes, that's me.
Okay, wonderful. All righty. So I'm going to switch gears here. So thank you for stepping up for this. This is a lot of fun. I think, Lisa, we're going to have to do this more often. And there are a lot more of these sessions, too, with different trainers. So please, sign up and show up for more of these to see other CTA trainer styles. So, Ruth from New Jersey, welcome. Thank you so much for stepping up. And hopefully everybody else is
in.
Yeah, and hopefully everybody else is back on mute. So I'm going to go ahead and keep an eye on the time. So, Ruth, we've got about 15 minutes. What is it that you would like to accomplish in the time that we have together?
Well, let me just ask you quickly, did it have to be a coaching issue or can it just be any issue?
Anything, whatever, what's right in front of you that you would like some support on and you would like to accomplish something about?
Great, thank you. Okay, so I will try to be very brief on the background. When I'm 52, when I turned 50, I really made a decision that I wanted to have lived a much more intentional life. And so one of the decisions that I came to was that I wanted to live back into life since I was 19 years old. And my husband was on board with that when we got married. I think that I always thought that somehow it would just happen, the realization that no, this is going to happen, we have to make it happen. And so we made a decision that we were going to do that and we were going to move next summer. The reason we picked next summer is because our youngest daughter, I have three, is 13 and she's in eighth grade this year and we wanted to give her a chance to graduate from eighth grade with the kids she's been going to school with since she was in kindergarten. She is extremely not happy with the decision. She, initially it was just, I don't want to go. Now it has evolved to, she just wants 1 year of high school here because that's the place she's always thought she was going to go, her sister's went, and then she will, without argument, she will move. And I feel like I know that if she has 1 year, it will actually only make it more difficult. But at the same time, we had some serious family challenges that started about 3 years ago, and we're really looking to be in a better place. And I think my husband and I both feel like it would be great for us to have this new start, this new chapter to move on there. But she also went through those difficult things, and so I'm very sensitive to just wanting to make her happy. And she's been on a volleyball team and is very focused on that, playing on the high school team, et cetera. So that's my background. What I'd like to get out of this section is I do feel like I may be sending mixed signals. She keeps asking me to think about it. I feel like I do need to come to a decision and have the right words to say to her about that decision, and I need help with that.
Okay. And to live back in, I missed that on your phone, the decision to move to?
Where? Hawaii.
Hawaii. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot going on for you, Ruth. Thank you for sharing that. So you're sending mixed signals, and have you made a decision about moving this summer or waiting a year?
I thought that I had made a decision. I feel like I've 95% made a decision, but it is wearing me down, her persistence.
Okay. If you were to just focus on the decision right now, the decision that you in your heart really do trust is best for the whole family all together, what's that decision?
For us to move.
To move. Because I just want to reflect back to you, I was really hearing that. I was really hearing that it was not 95%. I was really hearing that it kind of the underlying was 100%. And yet the question that is coming up and sending mixed signals, I'm just kind of looking at my notes really quickly here. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you at 13 and the relationship with your daughters can be so fraught with all their hormones and everything else, and I said, because I said the other things that I know have created difficulties before in the family, I feel like I know I would look at someone else and say that you need to be the grown-ups need to be the grown-ups in the family and make decisions. And there is something fearful in me that I will break something in our relationship.
Okay. So that's where that 5% is coming in, is the fear of breaking the relationship.
Yes.
That's accurate? Okay.
Yeah.
So without that fear, though, you're ready to move.
If something happened and she said that, she realized she was good to go, I don't think that there's no hesitation on the part of my husband and I.
Okay. All right. So there's the, you actually said that there was a but in there as well. We want a new start, a new chapter. It's really best for everybody, but I want to make her happy.
Yes.
And that's, I understand that that's a giant challenge, especially and I had a teenage girl who is now in her 20s. I'm kind of holding on to that part of this, Ruth, is I want to make her happy. Because what I'm hearing is kind of an underlying a potential either or here that I'm hearing is that either you move and she's happy or you move and she's not happy.
I I don't even think she would be, I don't, if I thought she would really be unhappy when we moved, I would feel differently.
Okay.
I think I'm more worried about how unhappy she is right now in anticipation of the move. And, which right now I'm already realizing this is like when you don't want to shake the pacifier away when your child's old enough to have it gone, because you're afraid of their reaction more than they'll get over it.
Well, but since you used that analogy, what happened at that point in her life?
I probably waited a little bit longer than I should have.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. and then I did it.
And who are you? Tell me about you when you did that with her, regardless of you know, any judgments of it was, you know, waited too long or whatever. Let the judgments around it fall away. And who were you at the time that there's a question in there. It's on its way. Hang on a second, Ruth. There's something. I'll just be a little bit more direct with it. How think back on you doing kind of at that point, and there are likely other times in your daughter's life when very similar things have happened, and you, like you said, you were the adult there. How can you use your choices and your way of being in all those situations to help you through this one?
Oh, looking back on that, it is my indecisiveness that probably created the anxiety in my daughters. And when I was calm and certain, that was probably a relief to them. And they could trust that I knew what was best because I was committed to doing what was best. And maybe what I was really just me worrying about their happiness, but maybe they see it as uncertainty about it really being a good choice, and that creates either anxiety for them or opportunity to push back, because I don't seem like I'm really established in this good decision.
Okay. What will it take for you to be who you need to be in this situation?
A lot of it is just this. I'm very logical in my thinking, and so this realization that what will probably cause Ryan unhappiness is more my ambiguity on this. And I'm so afraid of telling her, yes, we're definitely doing this. I thought about everything you said. And, you know, I love you, but I do think that this will be best for you, even if you don't see it now. My fear of seeing that to her, but that's probably the problem.
Okay. So it's not just the indecisiveness, it's really the fear of the unknown, of how she might respond.
Yes.
Okay. So, Sarah, again, go ahead.
No, I'm thinking, I mean, I wonder how that looks down. My fear is how she'll respond. What will she do? I mean, she's a good girl. I don't have reason to believe that she's going to act out or, I don't know, take up with some bad behavior. I am estranged from my parents. My mother passed away while there was no estranged, so I know that I have a deep-seated fear of losing that connection, of doing something wrong with my own children. So I know that's probably a therapy thing, but I think that sometimes is at the bottom of, that's at the root of my fear about this.
Okay. Well, and maybe therapy, and maybe it's just being human as well.
Mm.
And it's, my experience is that those fears pop up, and yet what is it that you want to, what I want to do is kind of ask that same question. And so what will it take for you to be who you need to be in this situation?
I think I need to sit with my husband, and we need to really together, so I'm not carrying all the burden of this with her, and this is just a conversation between her and I. And I think that if he and I say together our resolution and then sit down with her, that would be better than the ongoing one-on-one conversation I have with her. So I think what I need, is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, what will it take?
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
that's it.
Great. So, when are you going to do this?
Sit down with your husband. Not to be melodramatic, but my mother-in-law who lives with us is in the hospital dying right now, so maybe not tonight.
I'm so very sorry.
But I think that sooner rather than later, in the next couple of weeks, would be appropriate when there seems like maybe there's a breathing moment. For the kids.
So even if you don't know when, you're committed to sitting down with your husband to look at how you want to. Essentially, what I'm hearing is create the transition as a family.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I just realized how.
Intentionally, you said live a more intentional life. So what I hear you doing now, and I want to congratulate you on really, is creating this transition together as a family in a very intentional, deliberate, mindful way. Good for you.
Thank you.
So, and I would like to add a little mentor language coaching again, and I invite you to change all your buts to ands. It's just kind of a minor thing that I do in all of my classes. I class for clients on a pretty regular basis is, yes, we understand, and this is what we feel is best, and how can we do it together, and instead of the buts. That's my offer to you. So wonderful. We've got about 10 minutes left in our time together. So Ruth, what was it that worked in this for you? Actually, I want to change my question. What did you learn about yourself as a coach from being a client in this?
Oh gosh. I was lost in the moment of being the client. What did I learn about myself as a coach?
Yeah. What did you learn about coaching from this? What was it that helped you get to where you got to?
Well, what I learned about coaching is that a seemingly simple reflection can really actually create great clarity. You asking me about other situations, following up on the how did I feel then, was really helpful to me to see that a pacifier and a move, they seem like the world's apart, but they're not. The issues for me are the same.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a past success. Yeah, the past success, yeah, because you brought it up. So, and the other thing, too, that I want to comment on this one for everyone is, this is one of those that when it comes up in a coach-to-coach session in my classes is one of the easiest traps for a coach to fall into in a situation like this is to start coaching the daughter through the client. And I had that come up all the time. I knew exactly what you needed to do, and I knew what I would do in that situation. And even for me, after 15 years of doing this, that still comes up, and it's still a challenge for me to step back and take a breath and go back into that co-creative role with you to keep it focused on how you want to be in this situation and what will it take for you to be that. So it would have been very, very easy to start asking questions about your daughter, and it's not about your daughter, it's about you. So just to let everybody know that you know, even after 15 years, that this is still a challenge for me to stay focused on you, the client, and not coaching that third party through you.
That actually is huge for me as a coach because I feel like that may be one of my bigger challenges is that I started doing this because I felt like I was that friend, that person that everybody came and talked to and asked for advice, probably maybe most coaches. And so curbing that desire or quieting that voice is so hard for me sometimes. And is there something in particular that you do to quiet that voice and so that you can hear, or is it just being, you know, mindful of the client?
It's being mindful of when I am just about ready to ask a question about her or want to tell you. Just I'm very, very mindful of what's going on, the processes and the thoughts going on in my own head at the same time I'm coaching. And, you know, time and practice is really what it is. Time and practice, listening to what's going on in my own head and my natural tendencies and kind of filtering that out. So it's almost like, you know, just kind of putting it aside very gently and quietly and going back to focusing on a question. So there were a couple times that I did kind of stall in there essentially to say there's a question in there because at that time I really was, it was a little bit of a battle, if you will, a gentle battle, but still a little bit of a battle to stay focused on you and not your daughter. So I had to kind of recenter myself and think about the question and still ask the question that wasn't, I knew wasn't quite as good, but it still kept me on track with you instead of going to your daughter.
And if a client, you feel like, what if I just come up with a ridiculous solution that you're, because you are having thoughts and you're just like, oh my gosh, that will never work, or I just said, I think I should just stay here.
Well, I would have, you know, what I think is right for you is irrelevant.
Right.
And I would have asked, so how will staying where you are support you in your desire to live an intentional life? And I would have said, I would have also shared my observation that I hear that the decision to move is the best one for you right now. How will staying help you achieve what you want to achieve? So without any judgment in there either, I would still ask a question to help you sort through your decision. And if it was really, you know, wild, out of the box sort of a thing, I would still find a way to honor and acknowledge that and ask you, how will that decision help you get to where you want to go?
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, I don't have to believe in it. And like I said, what I think is irrelevant, what I think as a coach is not relevant. It's really me asking you questions to figure out what you think. So other thoughts. Thank you so much, Ruth, for stepping up. Other thoughts or observations or what you learned about coaching or yourself as a coach from this? We've got about 4 minutes left. Actually, about 5 minutes left. One of my clocks is wrong. So who wants to come off mute?
They may have to do star 6 because you couldn't hear me either at first until I did that.
Okay. Go ahead and hit star 6. Do you want to ask a question?
Hello? Can you hear?
Yep. I can now. Who is this?
This is Magalie.
Yes.
Well, I've been coming in the line of what you just said because I'm a psychologist by training. I couldn't help thinking about the specific characteristic of a 13-year-old and what goes in their head and what could ease their pain in the process. And would that be really wrong at some point to just maybe mention a couple things about knowing what a 13-year-old can go through and how they think and why it might be so horrible in their mind to go through a move at that time of their life? Would that be wrong to just think about it but stay focused on the client in the way, but then use this to maybe ease a little bit of the dilemma that goes on the mother's side?
My sense, that's a great question. Thank you for asking it. My sense in this particular session is that would have been more distracting.
Uh-huh.
And yet, on some level, an acknowledgement, such as, you know, I've had experience with 13-year-old girls, it really is a challenge as a parent, you know, it's a fine line that parents walk.
Uh-huh.
So a kind of acknowledgement and yet getting into the mind of a 13-year-old, because if you're coaching a 13-year-old, that's a different thing. And yet you're coaching Ruth with a 13-year-old. And I, you know, in this particular session, my sense is that would have been more distracting than helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, other coaches might have a different thought on that. So I'm just sharing what...
I'm saying as a coach, too, I felt like my intuition would have guided me to do that just because I could hear partially some kind of a guilt on the part of the mom in saying,
yeah,
I want that for myself, and now my daughter is going to have some pain due to my choices. And that's something as a mom that you do feel. And somehow it is helping, in my mind, my client, to ease a little bit the guilt, so she can more freely deal with the situation and move on with her decision.
Yeah,
that would have been my thought.
Yeah, and I just want to suggest that it's a kind of slippery slope.
Okay.
And thinking that you need to ease your client's guilt,
uh-huh.
I think that's where the catch is. I think that's where the slippery slope is.
Yeah. And
so
I hear you that's the drawback of having the psychology background.
Well,
making a difference with the coaching.
Yeah, well, being good at that can get in your way of coaching, yes.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, you bring a really unique experience as well that can also help your clients. However, I invite you just to be very, very diligent about things like, I want to help use my client's guilt, because that's not really your job as a coach either.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But as a coach, you can say, so, you know, I hear some guilt in here. How is that keeping you from what you want to do? What do you want to feel instead? What will empower you instead?
Okay.
So that's how you can assist your clients in managing their own guilt, is observing it and, you know, how is it helping? What can you do instead? Things like that.
Because you just gave me a really, really good answer that clarifies very well something that was really like a conflict for me.
Well, good. Glad to help. So we are at time, and I really do respect that for everybody as well. And as much as I would love to be able to keep going, on this. Lisa, we're done, right? Are you still there, Lisa? Oops, you were on mute. Oops, did we just lost. Oh, we lost Lisa. So, anyway, Ruth and Debbie, thank you so much for stepping up. I do invite all of you to jump on other coaching demonstrations with other trainers, and I wish you the very, very best in your coaching business. The recording will be available, too, to everybody if you're interested in listening to it again. And there's a whole lot more amazing, amazing sessions that CTA has put together in this symposium. So I hope you all take advantage of all the opportunities you have to for some lifelong learning with Coach Training Alliance. So with that, we will be complete, and thanks everybody for being here. And take care. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye.